This is Moss Whelan and Story in Mind. And it's in the middle of the night somewhere. Topic is, just change the sound quality of the room. The topic is, oh no, is it slipping away from me? I just had it. There it is, storyteller. And I'm hoping that I haven't done an episode like this, so I have to, because I just went through looking and sort of, it seemed like there was a gap, but I might have to double check. It's good to do these things, convince myself, coax myself along. So storyteller, from the sense of telling the story, really say, like, you know, being around a campfire, being around a hearth, and that the story is being told. What do I mean by that? To get it a bit more, give it some finesse, that there's a literal audience, there's an actual audience, and how this would apply to digital storytelling, or, you know, a novel, whether it's in print or whether it's on a, say, a tablet or something, that there's a kind of phrasing that happens, the way that there's this discussion that goes on, that is very much like, say, talking with someone. There's a parallel, say, with what we're doing now, and I just use the words we, you and I, and let's see, to go on from there. I think that's a pretty good sort of setup to the topic, to say, you know, talking about what it is. For me, it always goes back to Tolkien, and that was an example for me where I felt, it, you know, in a selfish way, that, you know, I was being pandered to, right? I was being talked to, rather than saying, oh, this thing is going on and it has nothing to do with you. You know, this thing going on had everything to do with me, and that, you know, that I was being given examples that were relevant, ways of saying things like, it's like when you go to this or that. Instead of this removal from a kind of a interactive participation, for example, usually with, say, a screenplay, you know, usually it's you're going through and there's not a voiceover, and a voiceover that is not connected to you. Like, somebody's telling you this story, but there's nothing that ties it to you, so there's this distance. You know, you're hearing somebody talk. It's almost like hearing a, you know, it's like a police interview, right? Or, but minus the warmth of the communication, like the thing that binds us together. So I'll go back to Tolkien for just a little bit. There's this quality of wandering to a certain degree, that there's it's writing with this feeling of there is this purpose behind storytelling. There's this sort of subconscious transmission, right? You know, these are important things. This is how we do things. And of course, you know, that the story is set up in such a way. And too, it's interesting that it's story, right? It's not plot, right? It's story. It's storytelling. I don't see the distinction being made that much, but for where I'm at, it is important. I've latched onto this distinction, but I can feel it wavering to the point where I'll sort of, you know, whatever, you know, the distinction doesn't matter. But this, you know, conveying of what it means to be, you know, in the culture, making the culture, supporting, creating the culture. Yeah. And that the storyteller, and too, I want to think that it's inadvertent, and that people who write this way, that they're not conscious of it, but say doing drafting, doing rewrites, there is this consciousness that's created. You can't help but notice and say, oh, I'm writing in a way that addresses the reader, that the reader, it's as though the reader is in the room, rather than, you know, you're on a ride. Instead of that, there's this feeling, and it's not all the time, but there's this feeling of that you're being addressed, that the fourth wall is being broken, you know, and all of a sudden the narrator's turning to us or me and, or you, and, you know, addressing you directly. And with that, there's this, there's something that's a bit closer. You know, it's all about effect though. I was going to say once again, so apparently somewhere I've mentioned, you know, that it's about the choice and what is good for the novel, what is good for the story, being the internal conflict of the character. Right. I heard Tolkien early on, and I had it read to me, right? And too, I was at an age where, you know, there wasn't a great distinction between, you know, say seeing it on TV or, you know, hearing it through some kind of recording device. Yeah. And you know, so I heard it. And I like that notion too, that storytelling, it becomes the realm of technology, that technology becomes the storyteller, you know, which is an odd, in a way it's an odd thing, but not, because we've been doing it for so long, you know, drawing in caves, you know, the ultimate PowerPoint, right? You know, take the initiate into the cave and, you know, hold up the torch, the light to show these, you know, these creatures, these illustrations. Behold your imagination. Okay. Storytelling. I know that there's an episode talking about, say, the function of the storyteller, but for this episode, I'm more interested in this choice and, number one, that it's a quality that's endearing, that's, it's warm, very much like, say, you know, being at the hearth, where, say, all, you know, the food is being made and, you know, it's a source of light, in the evening or early morning, or say the campfire, you know, that is hopefully keeping wild animals at bay with this sort of, you know, the bizarreness of the situation. It's like, you know, who are these creatures that have somehow, you know, captured daylight, right? And you're sort of, it's like they have a tiny sun or a star that you've, you know, yeah. And it's, and as well, though, it's not used all the time, and the effect is interesting. Say, as I'll flip back and forth. One example, I'm just looking at my desk, and I see my screenplay manual that I use for structure and other things, because it's got some good stuff about theme. But the way it's written, is talking to me rather than something that's cold and technical and distant, which has a place, obviously. We have many textbooks like that. We have fiction as well that is disconnected, and that's the interest of it. It's not about this relationship between the writer and the reader. And that's something that I like examining. It's like, well, why write anything that isn't like this? An old friend mentioned, say, making a connection. And this is a reader and somebody who's interested in the literary process, not actually doing it, but more from the sidelines. And so this was an observation from a reader. I think she studied literature. But then at the same time, I'm going, ah. She was cool though. She was cool. It doesn't, you don't have to study literature to be cool, but I just remember that, like, say, she had Lord of the Rings books. And I think the books got mixed up or something like that. Something like that. So we're sitting by the fire, and there's this quality of being talked to. I mentioned my own sort of, one of the big first things that I, this story that I heard was The Hobbit. And so we have the internal arc of, here's this character. They're not heeding the call to adventure. They want to stay home, safe, and everything. But they get lured out and they get kind of tricked. The wizard is, I can use you, right? There's, it's not very cool, of Gandalf, etc. But, one thing leads to another, and the resistance is great. The resistance to go on the adventure. Yes, do you, right? Do you leave home? Do you leave the nest? But to get back to the quality, that it's the quality of the conversation. And I almost want to say that the quality of, say, listening to the storyteller or being a storyteller and communicating with an audience in that way, the contrast versus, say, you have something, but the communication, it's not about the reader, right? It's sort of, say, here's something that has been done, and plug yourself into it, but you're not going to be talked to, you're not going to have this feeling. And two, it's concocted. It's not an actuality. Now it's, a possibility where, you could interact. I think ultimately we'll get to a point with AI where we could have this interactive storytelling. There's an argument that it already exists, but I'm thinking, say that you get to ask questions of the storyteller, which is something, it's like the all those movies or moments where sitting around a fire and being told a story, campfire stories, for example, and that there would be these questions. I do remember actually campfire stories that, during summer I was sent to a local lake, and of course, thinking back on it now, it's all, highly questionable. Who sends their kids to blah blah blah? And I'm just thinking of the problems with the Boy Scouts right now. It's a Anyways, so I was sent, and we would have campfires, and the counselors and the I guess it would be the manager, the camp manager, that, but also too, there was this, you know, there was this tradition. This is not something new. This camp has been around for a long time. And so they had stories about Sasquatches and scary stories. They were all scary stories. were they ghosts? I'm trying to remember if there were any ghost stories. But say that they had this, they had this different quality of, and of course, you know, you're sitting there, you're listening to this, and somebody is there telling you, rather than say a book being midway between the process. And it's, so it's about distance. It's about creating this, feeling, this tone, a mood of distance, or of connecting and getting much closer. So it gets down to intention. What are we going for? I'm just thinking of a style of writing. It's interesting because I went to military sci-fi, and thinking first about, you know, oh, because I've read some that is just, you know, by the book, BY BOOK, and that it has this feeling of sort of moving forward, and there's not, the narrator doesn't turn, you know, to the audience and sort of say some things, and you know what it's like, and you know, everybody's been there at one time or another. You know, these, the narrator actually say becomes a character, and even just say subtly, you know, it's not sort of rearing out, and there is this quality, and to say especially with first person, where there's this opportunity for the narrator to be much more active. And then what is it called when the narrator is questionable? You sort of see biases. Actually, I did it just now. I asked a question. I, you know, instead of just roaring ahead, you know, and, oh, just follow me. You know, here I am, I'm asking a question. Why would I be asking a question? There's nobody here except me. But that's in my mind. I'm going, no, there's somebody on the other end of this transmission, this message in a bottle. And yeah. And so there is this quality of a bit of give and take. But we definitely have writing that is not of that nature. I enjoy fiction that is in this halfway state, where it's not first person. And so why is that? Why not have the narrator as a character? It's sort of one step removed, and instead of the storyteller, it becomes this person. I always think of the storyteller, just in my own mind, as this older person, and that they're relaying information that's interesting, but it also has this importance. And obviously they're being motivated, you know, by whatever drive, whatever wiring, hard wiring going on, is saying, you know, do this. tell the story, or stories. And so, yeah, so there is this desire for intimacy with, and I mean that in the best way, with the narrator. Now I'm going, oh no, I've dug something. I've created something there, but I'm good. Okay, so right, and it's interesting to say, but it's true. I'm not a fan of first person, and there's this sort of feeling of trust, because the first person is telling me something, and just me, I feel as though there's this quality of the lie, right? You're telling a story, right? It's not a truth, and maybe it has a nugget of truth, but the person, like say the narrator, is somehow not to be trusted, and there's a lot more there, because say in the first person, there's all these questionable, saying, "Wow, you've really thought about this, this fabrication. You really, the detail in your storytelling is just amazing. So why don't I trust you?" Feels like it's very rehearsed. Versus the narrator who's not telling their own story, they're telling somebody else's story. Once again, it creates an effect, and there's this question of, and now I'm going, oh, is it that it's too close to home? Is it that when it's first person with the narrator, that there's this quality of the I, right? It's about, in this weird flip, it's me, that there's this juggle of, okay, well, who's talking, right? Because often we'll sit there and talk about ourselves. I'll find myself on Twitter, somebody will post something, and then I find I'm talking, I'm using first person and saying, I had that experience, or I this, that, the other thing. And I suspect it's for me, it's this wrestling between, no, I'm not the narrator. I want the narrator to be distant a little bit, not all the way, where there's almost no narrator. I have to say too, that's a direction that I took, where for most of my book, that I was looking to say clean out the narrator and don't have the narrator, that I was going for an experience. I wanted submersive, no, immersive, that's it. I wanted immersive, and too, that's what I was doing. The project, it was, very much disconnected from a narrator. I know that there's points where it's not, and I know that there's qualities that sort of pull a person out, but ultimately that was on my mind at the time. Now I'm sort of sitting here going, did I make the right choices? And it's so much better to just be sort of creative. That's sort of the saving, that helps. Instead of, is it good? Right. It's like, no, don't do that to yourself. Moss is learning. Okay, so let's see. So I want to get back to the narrator as storyteller, and what is it, and two, this is again personally, what is it about the storyteller that is evoking something that, say, this is not their personal story. They're not saying I, and yet, there is a quality that where that could be done, right? You have an old person, an elder, sitting by the fire and beginning to, to tell their tale. It's their tale. It's their story. What quality differentiates itself? I think I said that right. What is the difference between where a storyteller is doing this, they're talking about their experience, versus the narrator in the first person. If I can sort of juggle it, in first person, the narrator in first person, it begins with, usually, occasionally I've seen it where we actually start in first person and then, no, sorry, we start in third person. There we go. So third person, and actually in reality, we're getting, a narrator setting it up. And then we have a first person narration that begins kind of a prologue, right? Or a framing narrative. Ooh, I seem to know something of something, but not a lot of everything. Okay, so things are chugging along nicely. How long have we got here? Oh, okay, we're getting halfway, almost halfway. Things are looking positive and successful, as we near the false success of the midpoint. And myself, I'm attracted to the storytelling in the middle. I like the Goldilocks zone, especially the voice, of the say almost like say concern, how things are being shaped about the audience. And I as I say this, I'm sort of hearing this chime of agreement, feeling this chime, that that's something that the first person narrative lacks, in my opinion, or say that I prefer it when the narrator is both bringing it back to the listener, and say making these references that connect, so making this connection. And not totally abandoning the listener slash audience slash reader. Yeah. There's the and I keep saying warmth, and yet that is how it feels. There's another that has a cold quality to it, and then there's the first person. So the cold quality is this distancing. Where the narrator is trimmed down and don't have the narrator. I sort of recall when I did my book that I didn't want to do the narrator because, say, at sitting there, I didn't feel as though I could do it justice. I could not do them. I could not do the character of the narrator. Say it maybe if I had more time. I feel more confident now, which is interesting. But at the time, I was like, no. I remember making the decision. It was like, no. This is. I can remember trying to do it, and yeah. I hope that eventually I can get to the point where, I can have this sort of, this give and take with the audience, and. And I have noticed it now more so that that seems to be an element. I'm not so concerned with cutting all of that out, but who knows, as when getting to sort of like final edits, final drafts, that will be a question, is sort of like, okay, the narrator, what role do they play? I've mentioned Greek chorus a number of times, and I've mentioned the sorry, just maybe Southeast Asian tradition of the narrator, and I'm sure that that there's this universal, that I'm sure it all stems back from that the storyteller is obviously. But okay, let me just set this up a bit better. Japan, that's where I found out about this, learned about this. It was around World War II. It was, I think, even before that. I know I've mentioned this before in an episode, but film, black and white movies were happening. Usually, at that time in Japan, there was a narrator. And they would be, there was this huge struggle, a cultural heritage shift that was going on, where they weren't required for the films. And for a time, they insisted, right? They had a kind of guild, and they insisted that they were there and that they did the narration for the film, even though they weren't required. So it was sort of like, say, their cultural job was a storyteller, right? And that they would go places. So these would be our bards, right? And we're looking at the end of, a paradigm shift. I'm sure that they exist in some form or another, but not in the way that they used to, and the importance, especially, say, you know, technology challenging these ways of doing things. I keep going back thinking about poetry, right, and how poetry kind of ruled, and you know, that you'd pay money to go see famous people telling stories. Charles Dickens, something like that. You know, somebody shows up, they're doing a tour, and they show up in your town. You don't have TV, you don't have radio, you don't have the internet, you don't have movies. Right. So, now, backstepping from this, the storytelling, where it's a part of our DNA. It's a part of our media DNA. It's interesting. We have we don't need people telling us the news. You know, we can just read it, right? Why do we have a news anchor, right? Why do we have shows that have people? And then, of course, the obvious answer is, well, yeah, because that's how we work. You know, we associate. You know, in a sense, these people are actors, right? They are, you know, they're taking something, information, conveying it in a way that is approachable, right? With little nuances. And, you know, now I'm going to be sad as I tell you this information. I'm going to be concerned. And you know, and yet, do we really require that? You know, can't we just have sort of like a, you know, news flash in text? Oh, Moss, why do you want to get rid of people? Just have text. As far as me, that seems to be where everything is gone. It's just textual. It's just text, right? You know, moving words around, cutting them, and, you know, communicating. How do I communicate? Interesting, too, that it's about moving yourself into an identity. Like, it's like you're parking a car for the last time. The ultimate pigeonhole, just, you know, oh, I guess I fit here. But at the same time, you're changing your shape to adapt. And it's this very slow park. What is it called? Parallel park. It's just very slow. It takes, like, you know, years and years. It takes decades to do this. It's incremental, right? A little bit forward, a little bit back, a little bit more forward, you know. Right. So this is to say that the role of the storyteller still exists, that we require people, even in politics, we require, you know, why have movies? Why have books? And there's something that is important, and that we haven't shaken it off. Even with the internet, we haven't shaken this thing off. You know, there's a part of us that craves this act, this activity, and there are those who are willing to go out and do this thing. And then there are those who exist somewhere in the twilight zone of that, you know. Yeah. Oh, that person's really successful. You know, but then it's that it's a whole Faustian thing, right? What is Faust? Faust makes a deal with, shall we say, El Diablo? And you know, really, you could see, you know, and any culture can see their own catastrophes in this selling out. Oh, okay, that's really harsh, but that's what's going on. This I just noticed it's another example of addressing the audience, you know, by saying, "Oh, that was really harsh." It could be seen as, say, a bit of self-talk, but the whole point of, you know, what, say, this is podcast is. Because, say, I could do everything as very disconnected from you. I could, you know, not mention you. I could just sort of say me, 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 me. And it would create this different quality and this different tone. So is it that it's a mix, right? Is it that sort of that middle way of telling the story where it's not completely devoid of a narrator, and it, but at the same time, it's not completely over to first person. That it's somewhere in that gray area. But again, it feels there's this warmth, or perhaps that it's the first person is hot, right? It's stylistically. I remember somebody talking about, so this is Patrick Bolivar, local author. And so Patrick was talking about young adult and that form, but also, say, industry, that there's this style, I guess it would be a style, but that it's first person is, you know, usually, or the majority, it's first person. And I'm just trying to think. I think the manuscript that he's working on, chiseling away at, I believe it is first person, and yet it doesn't have this huge kind of stamp of the point of view that it's restricted to this sort of lens. Like it's almost like you're sort of attached, sort of a cyclopean kind of what do they call those? Cameras, right, that you would wear on your forehead. And it's kind of like that, right? We go everywhere the character goes and we don't, you know, we never depart from that. So it's not, it doesn't go to that ultimate ex, you know, sort of experience of, you know, we are the main character. This has actually moved into a train that's quite, for me, it's quite interesting. I don't know about you. And there I'm doing it again. And it has this effect. Let's see. Yeah, so I'm drifting towards this, you know, in-between state of the quality. N and not in the sense of, you know, oh, it's really good. I'm even thinking of, is that age? Is that the sort of determining factor? Does one, you know, say start off, you know, sort of young adult, and you know that it we desire it to be about, you know, the I, about it, you know, it's about me, and then as we're growing older, that we shift and that we move, we're moving away from the personal, you know, this self-centered. And not in a bad way, just that's the way it is. As we're defining our identity and sort of this shift towards defining identity, cutting ourselves off, creating a compound, right? You know, an enclave of oneself, and then but at the same time, moving into a different way of being, a different kind of identity. I have heard people talking, and so this is my generation, And at this point, so we're in this, we are 50, we are midway, and Dante begins that way. It's like something like halfway through the journey. But there is, I keep hearing people saying things like, oh, I don't watch movies anymore. I don't watch, oh, I get too upset, right? And I don't know if it's because I've always been upset, but I'm still watching these shows, and yeah, I get, occasionally I'll have to turn it off because I get, a bit, it's too much sometimes. But that's not all the time. And but at the same time, I'm paying attention to, friends, family, and going, oh wow, yeah, there's this shift that's happening. Just to tie it into what's going on now, a spring break and this what is it, boomer remover, and that interesting state. I remember being in that state, and for me, like say, any, I'm more sympathetic now, but I used to be very vicious and sort of remembering back and going, just referring to myself as being really stupid and dumb when I was 20. Is it that, say, culturally, a bit of both, right? That it's hardwiring, and then our software. Cultural software that, that's how things are set up, that works. It's worked for millions of years, so why reinvent, right? Why reinvent the software? Arguing those we do. We're totally reinventing the software. But say seeing the genre decisions for narrative, for narration, the voice that is being chosen, what works. An argument here too is that in young adult, it sells. What sells? First person. Am I doing first person? No. Maybe I should. Maybe I should change all my point of view over to first person. To write to the audience, right? That, if that's what resonates, and then the financial argument that it sells. Moving away from that, people write first person for quote unquote adult slash best sellers. There's always bestsellers that will have a first person account. Predominantly third person, as far as say everything that I've read. Moss, have you read everything? No, I've read a bit, and I keep coming back to third person. And yet, I quite like where, I'm reading, and then all of a sudden, the microphone is turning to me, and there's questions, or the narrator is talking about it, us, and what we do, and a quality that would be similar is, as we move out of the third act, no, second act, as we move out of the second act here, we've gotten out of the crisis. Okay. A quality. I'm writing about, where I grew up, where I live, and that say, I look at it as, say, for somebody who is here, that it will resonate more so than somebody who's on, who's not here, which I think is interesting. Like say, I'll read things about Vancouver and the Canadian Vancouver, not the American Vancouver. That's fun. But I'll read things about it, and that there's this different perspective, obviously, right? That there's this sense of Oh, that's my city, right? That's where I live, versus, that's not, right? An old writing compadre lived in London, and they talked about London in a way that I hadn't been around, and here's somebody from there who was just vicious, and ultimately moved away. And of course, there's people who live in London who, have only good things to say, love it, everything. But my interest is with it, with perception. And why is it that, a lot of people a lot of people hate the place, wherever the place is, and then we have somebody who loves it. Interesting experiments. It would be interesting to do a narrator that loves Vancouver, or say, is in London writing about London and has this kind of that there's this torrid love affair, stress on torrid, the difficulty of it, of liking, the place. And two, can we kind of distance ourself and instead, sort of appreciate, the actual act of perception, to kind of cut off from the physical. So that's something I'm playing around with, thinking about. Right. So this has worked out. This has gotten into what is important for me, and ha this has helped clarify for me what the narrator and the narrative that it's say it's not this purely fluid thing. The choices that we make, especially in drafting, as far as narration go, that I'm interested in those choices as that it becomes less subconscious, and we make these almost like, say, super choices, these conscious decisions of how it's going to be, of what our interest is, and ultimately the effect that we're aiming for. I'm just thinking of a sci-fi writer that I just saw on Twitter, and they're what they've done, and an interesting person, just as, say, different. It's like, we're just opposite, completely opposite. We're probably, I'm sure, politically opposite, and I don't want to be. I want to, I want to love everyone. But anyways, the you end up on a side, Let's hopefully we can still talk over the fence. Or visit, come on over. But this the sci-fi writer, from their be from the beginning of encountering them to where it's at now, it's very structured and science fiction. But I've read science fiction that's very fluid and very creative. But this, to me, it's that it's all laid out. There's it's planned. You don't deviate from the plan. The plan is a religion. And not interested in opening those doors, right? And those boxes, those Pandora boxes, not interested, right? We're doing a thing, and it's going to happen. There won't be any delays, right? It's going to be on time. And two, I believe that, for them, it totally, that's that's what it seems like. There's no, it's not going to be any surprises. So what's my point here? That I have only read bits and pieces, but I'm imagining that they've written something along like, I'm stereotyping. I'm sort of going, you know, there's the kind of, you know, militaresque, or it's kind of like, say, a thriller. It's something that doesn't deviate as far as conversation. I want to think of, say, like a classic noir, you know, where it's first person and the character is rambling on about, oh, we really get an idea of how rough and how street savvy, whatever, what else words, almost a goon in the sense of, you know, that this person is ready, right? They'll fist fight at the drop of a hat. They've got a firearm somewhere, you know, or some kind of thing, right? Knuckle dusters, right? Brass knuckles, etc. Yeah. And that's fun to say, slip into the roles, that the narrator becomes, you know, somebody that you would never hang out with, or that you would totally hang out with, right? It's your cup of tea. I'm sort of veering off with, you know, memories of people like that. And the oddity too of, say, thinking a person is one way and then finding out that they have this completely, you know, this charming side, or vice versa, right? They're charming, but there is a villainy at work. And, you know, and they want something, right? They want something and they're gonna get it. So we're moving into wrapping it up. And we've been talking about narrative, we've been talking about narrator, we've been talking about the storyteller as, and this is my argument, is that it's a narrator who's closer than the other two extremes. And the first person narrator, it's a weird thing. The first person narrator is, it's a lot of I and me, and this is what I did, and this is what happened to me. Whereas the storyteller in that Goldilocks middle is, they're telling a story about other people. And when they do the first person, it's when they're talking to the audience, right? That's what they'll say, you know, I don't know about you, but this is what I do in those kind of situations, as an example. Or asking qu the questions. You know, can't you have a mix? Totally. I'm just going for these sort of the obvious categories that are popping out. And then the lean narrative that is absent of a character. Somehow we're receiving these transmissions. We're not plugging in. Having done that as well, having, you know, removed a lot, or actually being conscious of, say, oh, I'm gonna just take out this stuff because it just didn't feel right to have this, you know, kind of Gandalf storyteller. Or for me, it's always Tolkien. I always think of Tolkien as telling the story, but it's an actor, I think it's Nicol Williamson, or yeah, pretty sure it's Nicol Williamson. He did Merlin in the movie Excalibur, and then other stuff. He did Sherlock Holmes once too. 7% Solution, I'm pretty sure. Which was weird when I saw it as a kid. I was like, oh my gosh. And thinking back, I'm going, wait a second, that was all about addiction, right? It was about his drug addiction. And sort of to catch the final breeze in the sails here. So it's about deciding what is best. I mentioned the noir, and you know, that's a mixture. It's got a bit of this and a bit of that, and it's not it creates an effect. Even though I quite like the storyteller, you know, I didn't feel it was appropriate for my book. And whereas now I feel more comfortable with it. And I have written in like first draft, second drafts, I have these moments where I talk about things that are not going on in the story. You know, like say, there's a street that, you know, a street name that you can find, you know, in a number of different countries, which is information that, like, say, it pulls you out. It's sort of a moment of, you know, wait a second, right? Who's talking? Right? What's going on here? With my book too, I'm thinking, eventually, I'm going to go back. I'll do a second edition that, you know, that will consider all of that, right? And yeah, because there's some stuff to clean up. I know that. But it's also sort of, you've got to do the thing, and so it's done. And okay, so as we wrap up, is it about skill? Because I've mentioned now a number of times that I didn't feel confident with the storyteller's role. And, you know, why remove those elements? Because they do, you know, they have existed, they exist now. But, you know, say I excise them, I cut them out, and or change them, or sort of merge them with context so that there was this bridge there, rather than this actual character who would step out. Confidence. I think I'm going back to early writing, and from what I remember, it actually wasn't so much driven by a storyteller, that there wasn't a narrator per se as character. And I'm thinking, did I do first person? I have done first person, but not to a great degree. And yet I'm drawn back to the storyteller and the warmth of that. There's something going on that is attractive in both senses. As a reader, I go like, wow, you know, what is this effect? Because it is bridging, it is connecting. It's a conversation that's happening. And I don't know about you, but I like a conversation. But yeah, so it's a conversation. It's a dialogue that's going on. We you and I, everyone is, you know, talks about, well, what makes a good story? If we stick purely to story's internal conflict, that is helpful. But I suspect that's not what people mean. They mean the whole thing, plot and story, and all of the bits and pieces that make it up, right? You know, how do you do this thing, this magic stuff, this magic trick? How did you do that? At this point, I do feel this irritation. It's sort of like, you know, oh no, am I turning into that crotchety, that crotchety interview, you know, sort of whatever it is, even if it's just in conversation, you know, how am I going to be okay talking with people, or am I going to be this kind of vicious, you know, how dare you, right? Ask where I get my ideas from, you know. Moss, would you sign this? Do you want me to sign it in sign language? Which, of course, that's not nice, but there's that kind of grumpy quality, which in a way I do associate with the storyteller, with this sort of, Gandalf, Dumbledore kind of Tolkien sort of cross mutation, and throw in a couple of, shaman and et cetera, a bard and some kind of oracle, a pythoness. Ooh, there's a reference. Pythoness, Oracle of Delphi. And yeah, interesting. And too, I did an episode, I talked about her. Okay. So I can feel myself moving in that direction and embracing the storyteller, being the narrator. I think part of that too has to do with feeling more confident about, say that, okay, I have some skill, I have some practice, I've been doing this, and there is an improvement. And two, may I never, reach that point where it's sort of like, oh yes, I'm good, right? Don't, Moss, future self, don't do that. Don't go down that path. I am so good. I don't think that's a problem, but you never know, right? Ego. Yeah, there we go, right? Just sort of, on the bicycle pump, right? Just inflating that ego, right? Ah. Oh. Just amazing. Wow. Okay. Hopefully the unicorn can keep me, keep me in line, right? Put me in my place. All right. So yeah, so let's talk about you. How's it going? How's your narrator? And questions to ask would be, say that I'm interested in is, what are the choices that you're making in a conscious, say consciously, and why, right? The thing that you are making, what is it that is driving that? Difficult stuff too, because you start to get closer to your story. I'm finding that from my story, right? As say right now, I'm the closest I've ever been to my story, to telling my story. And it's a beautiful, dangerous, wonderful, upsetting thing, to be sort to be considering it, to be contemplating it, and thinking about the read, and so, but turning it back to you, like say your the conversation that you're going to be having as storyteller, you're sitting there at the fire, you're do you go into the first person territory and create that effect, or do you go for a lean, mean machine, which I have to say is there is a beauty to that. It's kind of like that, the car, not aficionado, but somebody who really adores, right, the automobile. And sorry, I'm going a segue, but there's this really cool thing happening here in Squamish, and that's a First Nation group of people, and their name is the name of a city, an area, a town called Squamish. There is a company there that is they have carbon scrubber, and so what the carbon scrubber does is sucks CO2 out of the air, and I didn't know this. I thought they were just taking it out of the air, but they've what they do with the carbon is they mix it with water. I'm sure there's way more to it than that, but it creates a fuel. It creates a fuel that you can put into an automobile, right? So you don't have to do this huge conversion over to, say, an electric mobile or something else. And there's these huge benefits to it, right? I'm sure of course, there's like some kind of downside, but the upsides are huge. Okay, I'll leave that up to you to check out if you want. Why am I bringing this up? Storytelling, you know, I'm sort of conveying information. So you're talking about journalism. This is something that excites me, that I'm concerned about, right? I'm really critical. Now it's back to the first person. I'm critical of culture that is, unfortunately, it doesn't care, right? It's pop culture. It's you know, ballads that, in a way, it's very sort of basic base stuff. It's not, there's, yeah. And two, again, I guess it just depends on where you are. Is it the age? Is it my age that I'm becoming really concerned and et cetera? It's probably from the Greek chorus, right? The narrator who's nearby saying, you know, yes! Moss is having a midlife something. Right. So as we move into these final last words, that's it. We did it. Okay. Take care.